Hello and welcome to Mohawk's Meet the Team series, a podcast dedicated to the team behind creating the strategy title, Old World. We'll get to know more about the team and their work on the project. This week we're going to be speaking to Kai Nguyen, a contracted 3D animator for Mohawk Games, and we might just learn of a secret talent of his, so stay tuned.
And joining me again this week is Nathan, the lead animator for Mohawk Games. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And today we're going to be speaking to Kai Nguyen, one of the 3D animators for Mohawk Games, who was recently on a contract. And now that his contract is over, he's out in the wild. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Kai, we brought you onto the show so we could learn a bit about who you are and about your background and some of the things that people may not know about you. And I'm also curious to know how you got into 3D animation. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So I initially didn't get into animation as a main career path. I actually started off as a chemistry major. I went to University of Texas at Dallas. I was going to study to be a pharmacist. Eventually, that kind of changed halfway in.
I'm super curious to know how going from pharmacist to animator happened. How does that happen?
Well, basically, when you do chemistry quizzes every week, it kind of takes a toll on you.
Oh, yeah, man, I can imagine a quiz every week would take its toll. So why the University of Texas?
The chemistry program was really good, so that's why I opted to choose their school. I did not know that they had a animation school when I first went there. A friend of mine in my drawing class when I chose an elective was talking about how he's taking this animation class, and that kind of piqued my interest. So I, you know, figured I would try out animation as a side thing. And before you knew it, like I just became an animator. So.
So I'm assuming there weren't chemistry quizzes in animation class?
No. Thank God.
Yeah, that makes it a little bit easier, right? So have you always had a background in art?
Not really. I've done art on the side. The first animation I've ever done in my life was when I was like maybe like 10 years old. I had a Post-it flip note. So I would, you know, do some quick stick figure animations on that. I had no idea about like the animation principles, and you know, I just played around with it.
Yeah, I think at one point anyone with any artistic desires has tried that, right? I remember doing little stick figure flip notes with my sticky notes, and they were probably much worse than yours.
The first thing I animated actually was a bouncing ball, and I had no idea about the principles. Like, it kind of came instinctively to me to think about the squash and stretch of a ball. I remember I also made that ball kind of travel through a like a Mario level world. So I made like the background kind of side scrolling across.
Yeah, that's something I would never have thought of. That's awesome. So you went from that sort of, you know, pseudo background, and you get yourself into animation. How does one learn to become an animator?
Well, you pick up the book by Richard Williams, the Animator Survival Kit. Start from there.
What made you choose 3D animation over 2D animation, since obviously most people start by doodles and stuff? What was the attraction of 3D animation for you?
So for me, it was kind of by chance. When I first took a animation class at University of Texas at Dallas, I took a 2D animation class initially, but I actually dropped that class pretty early on because at that time I was still a chemistry major. So the workload of having to draw every day with the light box that they gave us and studying for the chemistry quizzes was a little too much for me at that time. So I dropped the class. By the time I switched to animation completely, I tried to sign up for the class again, but unfortunately they removed the class. I don't know why. I think the teacher may have retired or they weren't willing to pay for the class anymore. So the only thing left was 3D animation class. So that's how that happened.
So it's kind of a put upon you.
Pretty much. But you know, I ended up really liking it anyways. 3D is very cool. The graph editor kind of saves a lot of time.
So eventually you finish school without any more chemistry quizzes and you move on to working, right? So once you get out of school, where were your first work experiences?
My first step into the industry was at Servios. They're based in Culver City, California. I got an internship with them. The first game that I worked on with them was Creed Rise to Glory, I believe. It's a boxing game in VR.
Very different. Yeah, no, I did not expect you to say VR. Now, how much different is it to animate VR as opposed to like a regular video game?
Definitely the perspective of the player is very important. In regular games, you have the advantage of being able to control the camera of what the player sees. But in VR, the player is in control most of the time. So that was a interesting challenge.
Kai, I've animated on a few VR games, and I was curious of your experience. Did you find that you would animate something on the screen and then put it into VR and look at it and realize that doesn't look at all like I thought it did?
Yes, plenty of times, especially with the boxing game. So I would animate an attack animation for the enemy. And when I put it in and I take a look at it, it doesn't look quite right. So I got to like, it was very annoying back then. So you have the headset on, you mess with the animation a little bit, put in an engine, and then you have to put the headset back on, look at it. And then you're like, that arm doesn't look quite right. So you got to take off the headset and make the adjustments in Maya and then repeat the process over and over. And it was really tough because, you know, I wear glasses. So wearing glasses with the headset, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
So after your ventures into VR, what was your next endeavor?
After the VR thing, I actually took a year off to take an online workshop class. I wanted to improve my skills. I didn't feel like, you know, I was that good yet. I actually still don't think I'm not that great yet, but I wanted to make my demo reel a lot stronger. So I took a cinematic online workshop class just to learn more about camera movements and in-game cinematics in general. And then after I finished the workshop, I actually got a gig at Sparky Pants. I had to learn a lot of different tools that I was not familiar with at Sparky Pants. Because most of my time in university, I learned Maya. And for this gig, I had to learn 3ds Max. And it was the first time I ever touched 3ds Max in my entire life.
I'm so sorry.
It was a fun time. But, you know, the animation principles are all the same, right? So it wasn't that bad. It had a graph editor, so I was sold.
I've known a few animators that if they got offered a job and they said they had to use Max, they would just turn it down flat. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't really have a choice at the time. You know, COVID was kicking in and, you know, I figured, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just watch a video tutorial and spend a whole day learning the software and I'll try to make it work. Luckily, it did.
Gotta do what you got to do sometimes.
So, Kai, are any of your family members artists?
No, I am actually the first one in the family to be in a artistic career.
So, Kai, can you tell me a little bit more about your family? Do you have a big family? Are you married? Do you have kids? Do you have brothers or sisters?
No kids. Not married. My family is a small one. We pretty traditional Asian family. We have a restaurant, so my parents work, you know, every day at the restaurant. Whenever I'm not working, like doing animation stuff, I would help out at the family business. I have one younger sibling. He is doing computer science. No art for him. He's a little smarter than me. But yeah, I mean, small family.
Very cool. And so you mentioned the University of Texas. Did you grow up in Texas?
Yes, kinda. So I was born in Bedford, Texas. I lived in Fort Worth, Texas for a few years before moving to California. I actually moved to Seattle first for a couple years and then moved to LA and lived there until, I want to say, middle school, end of my middle school years. And then I moved back to Texas, to Dallas, to finish off my high school years. And then that's where I stayed. Yeah.
Awesome. So you still live there in Texas, and I'm assuming that you've been working remotely ever since you picked up the role at Mohawk. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty convenient. I kind of wish that I got to meet everyone in person, but definitely a convenient thing in this situation.
Yeah, I'm sure it was pretty convenient. And it's just strange the kind of times we live in right now where that's becoming the new normal, right? But I understand that Texas just got snow recently, right? I saw that in the news. And it's strange because you'd expect snow in places like Maryland or Virginia, which is where Mohawk Games is based out of. But yet you got to see it there in Texas. How was that like?
Yeah, actually, it snowed a little bit in Dallas, but it didn't stick, thankfully. The last time we had a lot of snow in Dallas, you know, people are kind of crazy. drivers are pretty not used to the snow. So
yeah, it doesn't seem to matter where you live and how used to snow you should be. Drivers are just awful in snow anyways. I live in like the western part of Virginia, and we just got like 14 inches not too long ago, and you would think we'd never seen snow before. So it's not unique to Dallas in that area.
Oh man, 14 inches. We barely get like 2 inches. So like, I don't know.
So how did you come to work at Mohawk?
So I was actually recommended by Sparky Pants to Mohawk. They introduced me to Mohawk Games. They introduced me to Layla, and Layla sent me an email, and we just, you know, started off from there.
And I can attest to the internal side. When I saw his reel, it was really strong, just really good body mechanics. And that's been fun to see come out just in all the work we've done and whatnot. Is I feel like you've always thrown in just a little extra something special to the animations that is super important with something like this, where you have so many units and are doing the same type of thing over and over. To be able to make each one fresh is a really important skill, and you've done that really well.
Oh, thanks.
So as someone who's pretty ignorant to the way animation works, can you explain to me how your process works? I mean, do you get sent assets and then asked to like animate them? I mean, how does that workflow work?
So yeah, it definitely depends on the company. For Mohawk, Nathan handled a lot of the rigging work. We have artists that make the models, and Nathan would actually rig it so that we can, you know, move around the controls and animate it essentially. After we get handed the rig, when I animate it, the first thing I would do is just, the usual process is basically I think of the idea of, you know, what the animation is. Like if it's an attack, then I'm going to try to do some research on the attack. Like if the unit is a sword unit, right, I would do some research on how to hold a sword or like how that unit fights in that era. And then after that, I would record some video references of me swinging the blade. Pretty much, animators are pretty much like closet actors. We're pretty much actors, and we just animate ourselves doing the action.
It's a lot of embarrassing footage.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of video references that I do not want to show anyone.
Yeah, but now we all want to see them. I mean, so you're actually recording yourself doing these things so that you can get a better understanding of how you'd animate that? Is that what I understand?
Yes. So you can't just animate something out of thin air, right? Unless, you know, you're super, super good and you just have lots of life experience. But I've never swung like a real sword before, right? So I got to act it out and see how my body moves when my arm is moving to the left when I swing it, right? Like how do the hips interact when the upper body is twisting in that way? Things like that. Just trying to understand the anatomy behind the action is important, and especially just making it kind of fun too. Because you don't want to just copy from real life. You kind of want to get the idea of the movement and kind of tweak it a little bit and have that artist touch to it. And you try to make it interesting as much as you can.
Yeah, for sure. Now I have a mental image of you riding around on horses too. I don't know if that actually happened. I doubt it did, but did you have any part in any of the horse animations at all?
Yeah, so when I made the horse animations, I definitely did not ride a horse.
That's so disappointing.
Yeah. So for an animator, if you can't do a video reference of it, you go to the next step, find online references, right? So you go on YouTube and you just do your best to try to understand everything about it. From research.
I just have this mental image of you like taking a stick horse and like riding the stick horse as you're swinging a sword, and it just, the video would have been golden.
Yeah, actually one of my video references, I kind of did that. I got a chair, you know, I just sat on it, and I find like a prop stick or something and pretend it's a spear, and that's as close as I'll get. Other than that, most of my information comes from online for the horse animation.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I feel like YouTube would be a perfect tool to see what things look like so that you can animate them without having to find them in real life. I'm curious, can you tell us a little bit about the kind of things you did animate while you were with Mohawk?
Yeah, I pretty much got to work on idols, hit reacts, the attack animations, and death animations. That's pretty much it. We usually try to do one animation per day, and each unit will have those sets. There should be 3 idols, 2 hit reacts, 2 attacks, and 2 deaths. We try to finish it in 1 week. one unit per week.
Oh, so you're the one responsible for these awesome death animations. I love them because they just look so realistic and it's so satisfying to see the other units dying like that. That's great.
So I wasn't responsible for all of them. You know, it's a team effort. We had Nathan and another animator named Ashley. She helped with a lot of those as well. Because there are a lot of units. So Nathan pretty much hands us a unit and being, you know, he would come to me and be like, hey, you're going to be working on this unit next. And then I'll be like, okay, cool. I'll try to finish that. And then that kind of process.
And just as an aside, real quick for the audience, you can find some of Kai's work in the description below. And we'll have links to all the stuff that he's got in his portfolio as well. That way you guys can have a better understanding of the kind of work that Kai's been doing.
Hey, Kai, take a look at the chat. You can see your portrait for the first time here.
Wow. That is one handsome man.
You are very handsome.
Regal.
No, that's awesome. So, I mean, what's it like to be immortalized in a game?
I mean, honestly, I don't know. That's very cool. I am... No words. Jason actually made that for me. We had to send Jason a portrait of ourselves and he would kind of make us look painterly.
Yeah, you definitely look patronly. I feel like you're about to say something like super wise that we're going to be quoting for centuries to come.
You should get that printed on canvas and put it over your fireplace.
I think I found my new Twitter profile picture.
There you go. And we'll make sure to have that in the comments below too, so you guys can see it. So can you tell me a little bit about your experience working with the team? I mean, clearly you've had a lot of interaction with Nathan, but what about any of the other team members?
Honestly, everyone has been pretty great. The first time I worked at Mohawk, I was, you know, kind of nervous about it. I think the first thing I was concerned about was just trying to understand the workflow process, but everybody on the art team was very, very helpful. I know Jason and Tom were very helpful with all the technical aspects. Yeah, I don't know. Like, everybody was very friendly and kind of helped me be very comfortable. I felt like I was pretty quick to understand the workflow, thanks to everybody.
Yeah, that's great to hear. But I'm curious to know, what was your experience like with Mohawk before you came here? Had you played any of the games that they're responsible for? I mean, particularly Offworld Trading Company?
I've heard about their previous game, yes, but in general, I'm going to be honest, I don't play too many games nowadays. The most games that I've played is like fighting games. So I wasn't too familiar with their work. I've heard my friends talk about their games for sure, but I never actually checked them out. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. It's a good thing that's coming out after the fact instead of before you got hired. That may have changed things, you know? But you say you play fighting games, and I'm just curious, like, what are some of the titles that you've played in the past?
I play a lot of Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. Played Guilty Gear. I don't know if you've seen Guilty Gear Xrd. It's a silly name, I know. But Guilty Gear is probably my favorite fighting game that I've played so far. Just the art style is very, very cool because everything's in 3D, but it's very, they shade it in a way, the lighting, it makes it look like it's in 2D. And I feel like that's pretty hard to pull off in 3D.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that art style. It's amazing just how they make it look that way. It's something I could never even imagine doing. So yeah, I'm definitely awed and impressed by that art style too. And I'm curious to know, like, what kind of games did you play growing up?
I grew up playing a lot of JRPGs, a lot of Final Fantasy, and like I said, like fighting games. That's pretty much all I've played growing up. I also played StarCraft. That was my first time playing a PC game, for sure. Definitely not a good thing, because I was really addicted to it.
As were we all. There was a time there I couldn't stop playing myself. So you mentioned JRPGs, and I'm a huge JRPG fan myself. I'm just curious, what were some of your favorites?
My first JRPG that I've played was on the PS1, and it was called Suikoden 2. I don't know if you heard of that one.
Absolutely, yes. That's a classic.
Yeah, so that was my first time playing a JRPG. I had no idea what it was about. My uncle actually bought it for me one time. He didn't know what it was about. He just saw all the characters on the CD case, and he was just like, yeah, I think he'll like this. So he gave it to me. I'm just like, okay, sure, yeah, I'll play it. I'll play my PS1. And when I played it, it was very cool. Like, you could collect so many characters. There's like 150 characters that you can recruit.
And it was like the Pokemon of JRPGs before Pokemon, right? There was so many. All you got to collect them all.
Yeah, definitely. And then the whole story was very cool too, because it's about war, right? So war between different kingdoms. So I got introduced to that at an early age.
So now that your contract is actually done with Mohawk Games, because you've completed all the animations that you needed to for Old World, where do you think you're going next?
So I am talking with a couple of different places. I have interviewed with them, but nothing is definite yet. So I can't really say yet, because nothing's for sure. What I can say for sure is that I am now just relaxing for a little bit, just going to be working on personal work.
Have you found that the pandemic has made things a little bit more difficult? I mean, are people hiring as much as they were before, or are you having a harder time getting back into it?
Things have been easier and harder. I can't quite know for sure. It has been easier to kind of apply to different places because I don't have to move to those locations, not at the moment at least. So relocation isn't going to be a problem now, right? Because everybody's going to be working from home. So I could be like, you know, working at Mohawk Games from Dallas, Texas. So I don't know. It's kind of hard to say if things have gone easier or harder. You know, I guess I would just say it's different now.
Yeah. I mean, in general, how has the pandemic affected you? Has it changed your life pretty dramatically?
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of an introvert. I'm pretty much an introvert. So I stay in most of the time anyway. So when everybody was freaking out about like, oh no, we got to like stay inside now, I'm just like, yeah, no, I've been there before. but it has been kind of sad not being able to go to my favorite places to eat. Just things like that. Like not being able to go to places that I usually like visiting or like hang out with friends as often. I actually have a thing with a group of friends where every Friday night we do a fight night. So we play fighting games on a Friday night. You know, we would go to each other's places. We would go there and kind of just, you know, just hang out and play some fighting games, maybe have a few drinks.
Yeah, I would agree. That's like the worst part about this whole thing, right? Is that these things we used to take for granted, that these like social events, these small get-togethers that we used to be able to do pretty often, you know, we aren't able to do those now. And, you know, you look back on them and you realize you took all those for granted. And I think that's the saddest part. What's the one restaurant you miss the most?
Probably going to a Korean barbecue.
Oh, yeah. I love Korean barbecue. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, technically they're open right now. You can go there, but I just, you know, the whole COVID thing kind of scares me. So even with like, even if they made it as safe as possible, I'm still a little paranoid about it. I've heard things like, you know, because it's Korean barbecue, so the steam is going to be on your face. So if somebody coughed, right, it would just go into the steam and it'll blow into your face or something, you know, like that kind of stuff scares me.
Yeah, I can understand that. So I want to circle back around to what's next for you. I mean, if you were to choose to work on anything or anywhere, what kind of thing would you want to work on?
I'm not sure. I just want to animate on cool things. I wish I could give a specific answer, but, you know, I'm pretty open-minded about a lot of things. So basically, I want to animate anything that's cool to me in the future, forever.
What was your experience in terms of, I don't know, just the workflow, working with a small team? Was that a positive versus, you know, if you've worked with larger teams before, like what was your feeling on that?
So actually, I never actually worked in a big team before. And Servios, it was actually pretty much the same size as the team at Mohawk, for the animation at least. There was only three of us, Servios, and it wasn't anything I was with. I actually kind of really like small teams. Oh, it is in bigger teams. But from what I picked up in smaller teams is that we can quickly give feedback to each other very easily. Again, yeah, I have no experience with like a big team. So I don't know how that's going to be like.
Well, I definitely appreciated just the way you took feedback, which is one of the most important talents you could learn in any field, I suppose. But just being able to take it, you know, and interpret it well. Because sometimes, especially with art where it's subjective, like when you're giving somebody feedback, you never know if they're going to hear it the way you want them to or picture it in your mind. And I felt like when I gave you a pretty minimal note, you always took it and came back with something that's like, yep, that's what I was hoping for. And I'm so glad, because that saves me so much time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I mean, I think it's because I'm able to take critique really well, because I actually learned how to, I did a little hip hop dancing way back then. Yeah. So giving feedback and critique was not a scary thing to me because, you know, I was, you know, dancing. Right. And I've learned that, you know, to get better, you got to like ask other people like, hey, how does this look? You know, like, and, you know, dancing is kind of, it kind of makes you really vulnerable because you're dancing in front of other people. Yeah. So it wasn't like, animation critique is, you know, I'm not going to say it's nothing to me, but, you know, like I can handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, nobody's making comments on your body.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
My only question now is why didn't you implement that into any of our units? I didn't know you had the skills and could do the reference yourself, or we'd have a hip hop version of every character.
Yeah, you know, if you guys just asked, you know, I would have done it. Definitely.
Now I see a chance to rehire him. Sorry, he's got to come back for another contract.
Oh, no.
You really need to lead with that in all your upcoming interviews. So I did hip hop dance.
What?
That's perfect. Yes. In fact, that's the only way I hope that you get another job is somehow that your hip hop dancing leads into your next contract. That's the only way.
No, but yeah, dancing has helped me kind of build a lot of confidence. So doing silly stuff in my video references, you know, like I say that now, but I really don't want to show anyone my video references. So.
So now that we've learned that you do some hip hop dancing, are there any other hobbies that you really enjoy?
I'm going to learn how to play the guitar again. I've learned how to play the guitar way back in like my first year of high school, but I had a teacher, actually a guitar teacher. He was Vietnamese. The lessons were like $20 per day, very cheap. But yeah, that's my other hobby. I'm trying to pick, unfortunately, I can't really hire a teacher right now. All I have are his old notes, and it's great, but unfortunately, I don't know how to read Vietnamese. I don't. I'm Vietnamese, but I can't read it. All of his notes are in Vietnamese, so I got to kind of decipher it a little bit.
Now, moving forward, Kai, where can we find you? Like, where is your portfolio, your social media, stuff like that, so that anyone who's looking for an amazingly talented animator can find you? And of course, all this information will be in the notes below, but where can we find you?
The best way to find me is probably on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @key_DN. It's KEE_DN. That's probably the best way to find me. I don't really post my animation work anywhere else. I'm not really big on social media, so don't look at my Twitter for any opinions online. All I do is just post my cool animations and hope people like it.
Well, there you have it, folks. So point your browsers in his direction if you're looking for an animator, because he's very talented. He did some great stuff for Old World and Mohawk Games. Kai, it's been really awesome to get to know you, and I'm so glad that we figured out you're a hip-hop dancer, because I feel like that only comes out with enough questions that you just spill something out like that. So thanks so much for joining us today, Kai.
Thanks for having me. I actually have hip hop videos online, but I won't tell you where to find it.
Oh man. So please, there's gotta be somebody out there that can do enough sleuthing to find those and bring them forward. So that's great. And Nathan, thanks again for joining me today. And, you know,
no problem.
Kind of just getting pulling that out of him. So if it weren't for you, Nathan, we wouldn't have pulled that out of him. So great stuff.
I know. I wish I'd known this 6 months ago. I really do.
I try my best to keep it a secret.
Except when you're on the podcast.
Well, crap.
Well, great. So it's been a really good time. Thank you so much for joining us. I am so glad we got a chance to meet you, Kai. Best of luck in your future endeavors. We look forward to seeing whatever it is you end up doing in the future. And until next time, this was Rob for Mohawk Games. We can't wait to introduce you to more of the team, so stay tuned.